Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast episode 462. We are the Fight Disciples. This is dedicated to the world of UFC. First time you've come to us? No problem. Just hit that subscribe button on iTunes. You'll be doing us a favour because we want you to keep coming back week after week. We're going to keep providing content week after week and we don't want you to miss out. You can also get it on our website if you need an Android feed, fightdisciples.com. All our social media links are there, our YouTube link, and the link to the shop, because we sell beer. That's right. Of which Nick Pete has been out and about in Abu Dhabi trying to set up a new brewery out here, haven't you, mate? Telling the people that they should be getting some proper tackle in their life. So there you go. Fightdisciples.com. We are on Fight Island. Again, we are back. Fight Island 3.
Tier 1, according to my wristband.
Yeah, wristband said tier one. So we appreciate that you might be listening to this through gritted teeth back home, cursing us, calling us every name under the sun. But hopefully,
scraping the frost off your windscreen.
Right, don't rub it into them. Don't rub it in. But there might be some good sprinkles of good information that we are going to give you throughout the course of the show, which might put a smile on your face and give you some hope that in a couple of months' time, you too will be on Fight Island enjoying some fights. Fingers crossed for you. Fingers crossed. Do you want to do a... Well, before we talk about Max, because he was brilliant, yeah?
Yeah.
And obviously you get stuck into me because I back Cater to win the fight. That's fair enough. Let's talk about our journey over, shall we? Our little journey over where I pretended that you were a fighter in the yeah, in the airport. Amazing. So we've got a flight over, the lads.
Manchester. Manchester to Abu Dhabi.
That's right. As we've told you on many occasions, nobody does it better than the UFC. They're absolutely bang on when it comes to the logistics of a trip. So me and him have flown from Manchester to Abu Dhabi. We touched down in Abu Dhabi.
We had the full front eight rows of
us.
Economy. Just us.
Just us. Just enjoying ourselves.
Yeah.
You name it, we had it, right?
Smashed it.
So we've flown over, wheels touched down. Our little friend comes onto the plane, looks for us, right, come with us. And we are taken off on our
private bus.
Private bus, nobody else allowed on the bus other than just me and you, and we were taken off to our own terminal. Our bags were ready for everything. I can't explain
how
fucking rock star it felt, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, as we're walking through the airport, past queues and queues and queues of people coming into Abu Dhabi and all this type of carry-on, right? Obviously, they can see that we've got maybe a UFC bag or a UFC t-shirt.
Well, the girl leading us through had an iPad with the UFC logo fucking blazed on the front
to
get us through all the checkpoints without stopping.
So it's quite obvious these lads are something to do with the UFC, right? Now, the lass that was looking after us, who works at Abu Dhabi Airport, said to me, are either of you two fighters? Quick as a flash. I went, he is. And she went, right, fight at weekend. And he then all of a sudden went, yes, and carried on this narrative to the extent where he was wearing a hoodie and put his hood up. And with the beard and the mask that we had to wear as we were walking through, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of when Habib arrived on Fight Island for Fight Island 2. You look like a giant Habib. That's what you look like.
Makhachev.
That's it. Yeah. So you were walking through the airport there, mate, and everybody were going, who's that? Who's that guy? Who's this guy? I think you went for a slash at one point, and she asked me then, so are you his trainer? And I went, yeah, and started doing a bit of shadow boxing in front of her. Yeah, I do all the training for him, you know what I mean?
I could hear that. I was literally having a slash. I could hear you outside going, yeah, you know, the work's been done. The work's been done. And I'm looking down at my gut hanging over my cock thinking, you know, the work has not been done, son. But anyway, that was fun, wasn't it?
So she's tuning in at the weekend, mate, expecting you to make the walk.
See me.
Yeah. Not at the buffet.
No.
She's expecting you to be in the octagon.
It's a shame Roy Nelson's not on the bill. Because, you know, there he is. That was the lad. That was the lad I took through.
There's my mate from the airport, yeah. So anyway, we got, after after lying to the people in the Abu Dhabi airport, we got brought into the bubble, mate, and spent 48 hours, didn't we, locked in our rooms overlooking a balcony of a lovely swimming pool whilst everybody was enjoying themselves downstairs preparing for the big fight night of Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar. We weren't allowed out.
We were locked in. And unfortunately, we didn't get released from our rooms until after the second fight on the card.
Yeah.
Because we were supposed to, we were waiting, weren't we, to be released at 12:30, just gone midnight. Mm. And then we all got a phone call at 11:30 to say, your wristbands are ready, you've got another negative COVID test, you're now allowed to enter the bubble.
Yeah.
And I literally jumped up, threw me kecks on, got dressed, flew downstairs. And when I got downstairs in the lift, you were already getting back in the lift. I was thinking, fucking hell, he hasn't even literally turned his laptop off. He's just fucking torpedoed straight downstairs.
Straight downstairs. And then I didn't even get changed. So no. I had a pair of middle of night, I had a pair of swim shorts on and a t-shirt. And I forgot my flip-flops, hadn't I?
Yeah.
So I was wearing, do you know them, like they give you a pair of slippers in the room where you're dressing.
Like fluffy slippers, yeah.
So I had a pair of fluffy slippers on, swim shorts, t-shirt. I didn't even go back upstairs.
No, because I met you at the lift, so I went, I'm going to get my, yeah, I've got mine. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go and get changed. I'll go and get my wallet and that. I said, yeah, we'll go to the bar, we watch the fights in the bar. Yeah, well, I need my wallet. I said, you don't need your wallet. I've got my wallet.
There you go.
Let's go. So Adam literally spun round, straight in the bar.
And we were in there
watching the fights. Yeah, man, it was good.
Watch Dana's big announcement.
Yeah.
Which wasn't really an announcement, let's be honest, Dana.
Well, it was validation of what I've been saying since October. The UFC needs a lightweight tournament. Mm. Thankfully, Habib's on board. Now Dana's on board. Smashing the back doors out of this, aren't I?
Yeah.
I own it.
Dana and Habib had a meeting on Friday. I think Habib's told him that he's not coming back.
Yeah.
But we need to drag it out a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Just for a few narratives. So Nick Pete's unofficial lightweight tournament is well and truly on. You will have seen on BT Sport that we've renamed him Commissioner, Tournament Commissioner Nick Pete. We've already had one round, of course, where Charles Oliveira beat Tony Ferguson. Congratulations to him. He's due to the semi-final, and he will be facing the winner of the main event at the weekend, Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor. And of course, on the other side of the draw, we will see Dan Hooker and Michael Chandler go to it.
In their quarter.
And hot rumours that there might be a wild card entry to the tournament, because everybody's talking about Nate Diaz at £155. Will he face Justin Gaethje in the fourth quarterfinal? Time will tell.
Yeah, man. It's exciting stuff, isn't it?
It is exciting stuff. Matchups galore, man. We're just making fights for fun.
It's fucking boss.
Top fight after top fight after top fight. Let's look back at weekend then, shall we?
Well, let's just paint a picture of where we are.
Oh, don't. Why do you want to wind people up?
We are sitting on Adam's balcony.
That's right.
The view is actually perfectly divided by this balcony bar, because above the bar, I can see downtown Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
I can see beautiful blue sky, not a cloud in the sky. And obviously we're sitting here in our swimming trunks. We've been to the pool earlier. I'll be returning to the pool as soon as this podcast is done. Below the bar, you can see what would you describe that as, a sky blue estuary?
Yeah.
Type in
you know exactly what that is. That's where you went jet skiing last time we were here.
That's jet ski run right there.
You're on jet ski run there.
Then the next level down from that, we've got the lovely strip of Abu Dhabi's golf course.
This is a beautiful golf course.
Which is quite busy, isn't it? You know, listen, one day we'll have a knock on there.
Yeah.
And I'll show you how it's done. And then obviously we come down a level from there. We can see the inner workings of the Crown Plaza Hotel. We can see the pool area where both myself and Adam were earlier and will be again later. And I can see Max, our producer from BT Sport, down there sunning himself, looking good. So, yeah, just to let you know. But you do need to wear a mask from your room to the pool, but you don't need to swim in your mask.
There you
which
go.
Is nice. There you or go. Sunbathe in your mask.
There you go.
So, yeah, there you go. Let's just paint a nice picture.
Obviously, we've gone through serious protocols. I mean, it's been hell, hasn't it?
It's been awful.
It's been absolute hell to get ourselves to this situation. But don't worry about us. We're all right now. We've come out the other side, and we're getting you closer to the action. That's what we're here for, isn't it?
Did you bring Factor 15?
Yeah, 15 I brought.
Yeah, sound.
Just 15. Yeah. 30 last time. I thought, nah, fuck it. Well, I'll 15 that. This time.
Yeah, good.
Perfect.
Good.
Yeah. And we better hurry up because room service is coming in a minute with that bucket of buds. Anyway.
Max Holloway.
Yeah.
What a performance. What a performance.
Yeah, mate.
Listen, if maybe this is your first time listening to us, you're thinking, you know what?
What I could do with a little bit of...
I listened to the boxing show. I'll give the UFC show a shot. They fucking talked it up massively on the boxing show that they were going to tell us what it's like inside Fight Island Bubble. Yeah, man. Done. Good. Yeah, super. You're jealous. You should be jealous. It's amazing. But the fight itself, go back and find the fight. Go back and find Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar from Saturday night. It was live on BT Sport in the UK. It was on ABC in the US, yeah. Which is huge. That's terrestrial television. First fight they've had on there in 20 years. Absolutely massive night for the UFC in terms of giving it. And I tell you what, when you get nights like that in the on new platforms, you want to have the type of fight or the type of performance that keeps fans coming back for more. And Max Holloway delivered the type of performance that you go, fuck me, that is as good as that sport gets.
Yeah.
He produced a performance that you go, very few fighters in the history of mixed martial arts in a fight of this magnitude, a top of the bill fight, you know, a former champion against a top contender, a fight that a lot of people thought was going to be very close. A lot of people, including my pointy-nosed friend over there, thought Kattar was going to win. That's how close it was supposed to be. To Holloway to turn up, to put on a clinic, the performance of his life, people could even argue, for me, was absolutely sensational. It just kicked off fucking fight week in grandioso style.
Let me try and justify my pick.
Go
it's
on.
Not going to happen, but I'll try and just my best to justify it. I'd watched interviews of Max and Calvin, right? And the thing that kept getting brought up with the Max interviews is that he wasn't sparring anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing sparring, just doing my strength and conditioning. I'll turn up and I'll fucking light this fella right up. I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Calvin Kattar is one of the best boxers, if not the best boxer in the featherweight division.
Wait. Oh, you said that prior. You can't say it now.
No, I'm not saying it now.
Of course.
Going into the fight is what I was saying.
Yes.
His hands, his striking, his knockouts.
That's his bread and butter.
That's his thing, man.
Yeah, man.
And you're not sparring for him. All right. I think this is kind of playing into the boxer's hands. So I picked Calvin Kattar to win the fight. Knowing how slow Max normally starts, I thought Kattar might catch him cold. Here we go. Bish, bash, bosh.
Bish, bash, bosh.
I couldn't have been more wrong, mate. First of all, Max Holloway not doing sparring made Max Holloway even better.
Yeah.
Because he was fresher, he was sharper, he was quicker, and he started the fight quicker, which he never does. He normally takes 5 minutes to download the data, he has a look at his opponents, and then he gets into the fight and then progressively gets better as the fight goes along. He started at 60 to 70 miles an hour and went up to 100 miles an hour and stayed there for at least another 15 minutes. It was unbelievable what he was doing. I've got some stats for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Check these stats out, right? They're absolutely
ridiculous.
Mad. They are mad.
Are they record-breaking for the UFC period or just for the featherweight division? These stats. Because I seen these after the fight and was like, that is absolutely insane.
No, these are UFC stats, not just for the featherweight division, right? So he set multiple striking records. First one, 445, right? That's the number. Significant strikes landed.
So that's not just punches thrown.
No.
That's punches thrown that landed on the whiskers.
445. That is the most in a single UFC fight. Obviously, this is a 25-minute fight, okay? 445. This is the funny stat. You ready for this? 447. That's total strikes landed. So what we're saying there, right? He's landed 447 shots, but only two of them weren't significant strikes. That's fucking madness, mate.
Yeah, insane.
That's, insane. Again, most in a single UFC fight, 447. 141 is strikes landed in round four. So in 5 minutes, he's landed 141 shots on his opponent. Landed them. He's not thrown them.
And that
he's
was
landed
that
them.
Was the round that in the bar... last night we were
talking to Mark Goddard.
We were debating with all the refs and the judges and a couple of the guys that were judging on the card as well. We were debating with them,
yeah,
and we were having a real conversation about Could it? Should it? May it have been stopped in the fourth round? Mm. All interesting stuff, man, because the fourth round was so one-sided. I think all the judges scored it at 10-8. One of the judges was even told us he almost scored it at 10-7.
Yeah.
But the final score itself was joint in history.
Yeah.
For the biggest 50-42, was it?
Yeah, 8-point swing, yeah.
50-42. So
there's only ever been one of them previously in the UFC.
So what's that, 3-10-8 rounds?
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Do you want another one?
Go on.
746. Say that again. 746 total strikes attempted in that UFC fight. So he's thrown 746. He's landed 447 of them. Fucking hell, man.
Wow.
It's fucking lunatic.
He's literally just took his little Hawaiian cock out and took a piss all over your prediction that Calvin Kattar was going to win.
And this is the beautiful thing about it, right? Because so many people come at us all the time. You make predictions, you follow fight sports, you make predictions all the time. And don't get me wrong, it's nice to get shit right.
Well, can I just read you a quote?
Well, just wait. Before you read your quote, let me say what I'm going to say, right? It's nice to get stuff right, and it's nice to be a smug bastard, as my mate's going to do in a minute, right? But there is nothing better in all of sports, not just fight sports, nothing better than when something happens that you absolutely could not have predicted.
Yes.
When you think to yourself, there's no way that can happen. That's not going to happen. And it plays out right in front of your eyes. If you go back and read my tweets from Saturday night, the majority of them are, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, yeah.
This is fucking unbelievable. And this then makes me love this sport even more.
Because
it's just absolutely, I couldn't have predicted it. It was brilliant.
Yeah. Nice segue into me, who did predict it. Absolutely spot on. And I'll just read a quote from my preview. Anyone that does follow my personal social.
No, nobody reads it.
I do a blog for my partner, betting partner, Unibet.
Personal sponsor.
My personal sponsor. And I quote, you know, go back and read the whole thing. It's magnificent stuff. But I'll just read this one little quote, my finishing quote, preview the fight. Holloway has a point to prove in the UAE, and Qatar is in his crosshairs. Max's 21-6 record includes 23 UFC fights, 5 pay-per-view main events, 9 title fights and championship fights across weight divisions.
That's right.
But his legacy is undoubtedly under threat after suffering 3 defeats in his last 4 fights.
Nice.
Set up. Here we go. Expect Qatar to start fast and outwork Holloway. I'm wrong. I'm wrong now.
Yeah.
But I pull it back. A notorious slow starter. Not in this case, Nick. He was amazing. But once Holloway finds his groove, he'll once again prove every bit the planet's best featherweight and could even force a late stoppage to save the judges from handing him a one-sided points decision. Black and white, mate.
Doesn't get more one-sided than 50-42, does it?
Doesn't get
more. And 2 50-43s.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, it was a remarkable performance. And then to top it all off, he absolutely done what we loved best. He got on the microphone and said, hey, man, I'm sticking round. And if anything happens with Connor and Dustin Poirier in the main event next Saturday,
in a different, boom, in I'll a jump different in weight that, category, in a, I'll in see a, you there.
£10 above, which means he can hit the cookie jar. I'll stick around just in case. And you know what, Max Holloway's probably still fucking here just in case.
Shit, the bed.
Remarkable.
It was. For anybody that says, oh, that's fight of the year. No. Fight of the year, the other guy's got to be
in the fight.
He's got to be in the fight. Don't get me wrong. Calvin Kattar landed some big whacks, man. And Max just decked them like Pac-Man and just kept coming forward. It's going to be very, very difficult for anybody to give us a better performance than that.
Yeah.
That was a true. It was art. It was brutal.
Yeah.
But it was art.
Exactly. It was like, you know, we talk about fight sports being, you know, brutal chess, violent chess. And Calvin Kattar just come up against the Grandmaster.
Yeah.
On his fucking, one of his best nights.
Calvin, I'll go as far as to say this. This is how full swing I've gone on the Kattar thing. Kattar will never be the same again.
Nah.
There's a bit of him left in that octagon, mate.
Yeah, and that brings us back to that fourth round, that 10-8 round on all the judges' cards. That one judge even almost scored a 10-7. Massively one-sided. And it's rounds like that where you've got to look at the corner team. He was, in defence of Herb Dean, he was throwing enough shots back at
good
Max
shot.
To try and stay in the fight.
Yeah, agreed.
It just shows how utterly dominant Max was that we all went, yeah, that's a 10-8 round. Because in MMA, 10-8 rounds are a lot easier to score than boxing because, one, you've got an extra 2 minutes And two, if you're attacking on the ground, you almost get a submission. If you're on the feet, landing massive shots, dropping people everywhere, it's a lot easier for it to be completely one-sided. And sometimes a 10-9 just doesn't do it justice. Hence the reason why one of the judges, as I say, almost gave it a 10-7. That's how much of a one-sided round it was. For me, that's up to Calvin Kattar. That's not on Herb Dean. Kattar's doing just enough to stay in the fight.
I agree.
It's up to the corner. The corner really should have pulled him out.
They shouldn't have,
the corner should know. Listen, son.
The corner should have let him go for the fifth.
You've done 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That round you took a shellacking. We're going to save you for another day. Because there's two things that happen there. One, you're physically saving him. You're saving brain cells. You're saving that mind from being rattled around. But two, it just gives Kattar that... Okay, it's not true, but it gives him the opportunity to go to bed at night. Kind of like Deontay Wilder and go, ah, motherfucker, if you haven't pulled me out,
I'd have
sorted that.
Yeah.
And it gives him that little bit of solace that
hope.
He can kind of
give
him hope. Yeah. So I think his corner team fucked up in that one. But
yeah. Okay. Man, what a fucking performance.
He was great.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely great.
And there were some wonderful knockouts. I mean, the prelims... We were a bit worried, weren't we? The first fight of the night, the first round of 2021, was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, Lingo Kilburn, they were mental, weren't they?
We were just like, fucking hell, here we go, we're away.
Mate, I don't know them, but two crazy rednecks just throwing down, man. That's what it looked like. It was awesome.
The rest of the prelims kind of sent me to sleep a little bit, so I was a little bit nervous, thinking, no, come on, we need something mega. And then as soon as the main card kicked off, boom, away we go. Our boy, our knockout of the year artist, Joaquin Buckley, getting knocked out himself. Shin across the old temple. See you, son.
Knockout of the year winner, 2020. Moves into the new
mixed
year.
Mixed martial arts is cruel as fuck, innit?
Honestly, man.
Lads, they only
18
his,
days.
They only gave him his trophy on Tuesday.
I know. 18 days in. Mate, you know, it comes. You reap what you sow, man.
Jeez.
You play with fire, sometimes you get burnt. And that shin across the dome, Jesus Christ, that puts anybody out. Weirdly, did you see Di Chirico, who beat Buckley? Did you see his post-fight interview?
Yeah, weird.
That was completely and utterly bizarre.
Listen, I'll tell you why we don't interview losing fighters. It's because the majority of them have just been starched. You can't stick a microphone in a dude's face who's...
Doesn't even know what day it is.
Yeah, exactly, man. That's the reason why you don't interview losing fighters immediately after the defeat.
Very strange. Di Chirico basically sat down in front of the... MMA media was asked the question and just went, I'm not answering your question, and to be honest, I don't want to do this press conference because I don't think it's right that the media don't interview the losing fighter as well. Why do you only interview the winner? I don't like that, so I'm leaving this press conference, and walked away. There's many things wrong with that, and one of them, the main one, is what Adam has just pointed out, but also as media, we don't get to choose who we get to interview anyway. The UFC bring them to the media room and go, here's the winner, interview him. It's not like we can suddenly, you know, you can request a certain fighter, obviously being from BT. If a British fighter were to lose, we can request and go, listen, he's just lost on points, she's lost on points, close decision. This happened, that happened. Can we get some, you know, but if a British, even if it was, you know, a big British fighter, if it was Till or Leon Edwards, if they get knocked out in the first round, you're not going to ask, can I speak to him right away? You're going to go, is he all right? Gone to hospital, bum. So it was a very bizarre shout from Di Chirico, but he comes across, did you hear what Dana White said? Dana was like, he's a fucking weird guy, man. Dana White passed him in the hall and he looked at Dana like he was a piece of shit, apparently.
Yeah, man.
Weird.
Yeah.
Takes all kinds to be in this fight game, bro.
I'm shitting myself, actually, meeting Dana this week and doing our interview. He's been on one, hasn't he? Talking about piracy, talking about media. I just think he's going to be aggressive with me. I might get taken down and given a bit of a good hiding whenever I see him.
Listen, the commish will come with you.
Yeah, sort it out, mate.
I'll sort it out, yeah. Because
we'll just talk about lightweight tournament and just get him pumped up.
I want that 10%. It was a joke at first, but now I'm like, I've just laid out the UFC's lightweight division for them.
That's it.
Put a lot of planning into this, and it's playing out exactly how I planned it. So, come on, Dana.
Sort it out, man.
Get that 10%, baby.
Absolutely. The first fight night of the year was absolutely sensational. Even the old boys, Carlos and Matt Brown.
Mega.
They threw down for us, man.
I didn't think it was a 30-27. I thought it was a great fight. I felt a little bit for Matt Brown, but I do think that Carlos Condit won the fight. So, it was mega, man. I love it. These legends fights are what they are. You know, if Carlos Condit, Matt Brown want to throw down, if Diego Sanchez wants to throw down, if Robbie Lawler want, as long as they're all fighting each other, man, cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wednesday night, we've got a show.
Yes.
Saturday night, we've got a show. What are we going to do this week? Are we going to do multiple podcasts, or are we...
I think we should do a drunk podcast at some stage. Give the people what they want.
Give the fans what they want. That might be. We might do that then after Wednesday night's show, because we're going to the like we've just said, we didn't get to go to the arena to watch Max and Calvin Kerter because of quarantine. We are going to Chiesa Magni. Yes. Little bit of a shame that it's not Leon Edwards and Hamzat Chimaev, which it was originally.
Massive shame.
That fight's been rescheduled, of course. But we are getting Chiesa Magni and some nice little fights on there involving British fighters. One of which is the main man, Laron, back in action. You caught up with him yesterday. You had a bit of a chinwag, didn't you?
The bullet chewer, man. I love that guy. Manchester's finest. We didn't talk about football, which was probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't much to fucking talk about, was it?
Boring.
But yeah, he's all fired up and he gets a massive opportunity against Douglas Silva, the Andrade as well, who's a kid that's, okay, he's from the weight division below, but he's got, you know, win over Henan Barao last time out. He had his loss in the UFC was against the current champ, little Glaswegian Peter Yan. So, listen, the guy's fucking legit, and Laron May, if not get a ranking out of it, he'll get a ranking fight next. So, massive for Laron, who's still only 9 fights into his career. But he's completely and utterly, he's like the British fighter that just completely goes under the radar. Mm. You know, he made his debut in the UAE back end of 2019. Mm-hmm. Then he fought here, of course, last year as well, finally got his arm raised. Mm-hmm. Now he's back here, he's on home turf, effectively. This is where Laron Murphy does his UFC business. So, massive chance for him. Just as it's a massive chance, too, for Tom Breiss against Akhmedov in the middleweight division.
I'm frightened about that one.
We seen Tom, didn't we, briefly in the shop at the Fighter Hotel the other day, and obviously people who listen to the show, people who follow UFC, know Tom Breiss's backstory and the issues that he's had. So the thing with Tom is, you see Tom Breiss, you go, Tom, lovely to see you, bump, little knuckle bump, and you walk the fuck away. I do not want to impact Tom Breiss's headspace at all.
Yeah.
Let Tom Breiss do Tom Breiss. And you know what? When he beats Akhmedov on Wednesday night, fingers crossed, boom, I'll be first person backstage, putting a microphone in his face, getting some of that Brummy love.
Yeah.
But prior to the fight, leave Tom alone. Let Tom do his thing, man.
Listen, my one to watch is fighting Wednesday night, pal.
I haven't seen him yet. I haven't seen him anywhere.
I've not either, though.
I thought we'd have seen him bouncing off the walls, young double dragon.
Mason Jones, keep your eyes out for the lads. He's the curtain jerker.
Second on, I think he is.
Is he?
I think he got 2 girls on first, and then he's on. He's second on. Yeah.
Well, and this is another thing for British fight fans. I know that obviously you're experiencing lockdown and what have you, and that's not a jibe. What I'm saying is that the time that this is obviously going to be broadcast back in the UK, because the main card is 5 p.m. tea time, son.
Boss.
Whilst Omen Away and Neighbours are on, flick the other channel and you get to see some fights. And obviously, what will that be? 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
So I reckon Mason Jones could be 2 p.m. Tom Breiss will be around 4 to 4:30 p.m. on Wednesday. So keep your fucking, you know, if you are working from home, make sure you punch in early on Wednesday morning.
Or just after.
After, even better. After, or, you know, do what pretty much everyone else is doing and just fucking put your laptop in front of the telly.
Yeah.
Just cancel all Zoom calls with management or whatever it may be.
That's it. Audio only.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, audio only indeed. So yeah, I think Mason's going to be around 2 p.m. Wednesday, Tom Breiss around 4:30, and Laron straight after him on the main card at 5 o'clock. So do not miss it. The 3 Brits in action. And you know what? Odds on them. I think Mason Jones may start as favourite, but it is his debut, so he may not.
Yeah.
I think both Tom Breiss and Laron Murphy are underdogs.
Laron's an underdog for
that fight. I think so. Listen, Douglas de Silva de Andrade, okay, he's from the weight division below, as I say, but he's fought big names. He lost against the champ.
Yeah.
So I think our guys, listen, Laron's always the fucking underdog. I think there's good odds out there for the all-British treble. That's a big shout.
That's a shout.
Because they're tough fights. But if you like a little flutter, it's worth a couple of bob. As my nan used to say.
So we will do a drunk podcast then.
Wednesday.
After the event, yeah?
Yeah, sound.
You might get it Thursday. Because there's no chance of me uploading that straight after. And then, of course, we roll on into this Saturday, man. And the beautiful thing about this Saturday night show is that normally when we're talking about Conor McGregor, we only talk about Conor McGregor. And obviously, of course, his opponent. But it's always just about that show.
Yeah.
Whereas on this, we've got a couple of fighters that have been given, in my opinion, showcase fights. They're going, kind of steal a little bit of the limelight. People like Amanda Ribas.
Yeah.
And we've also got an unbelievable co-main fight. It's an absolute belter. Welcome to the Shark Tank, Michael Chandler. Now, floating back to previous podcasts, Nicholas, I have been derogatory towards Mr. Chandler. And listen, we've gone over this.
Yeah.
We've said this. And it was all pre-Fight Island 2, when I met him. And we looked across each other and looked him in the eyes and had a conversation with him. And he's a lovely fella. Top guy, Michael Chandler.
Episode 430, September 21st. Is when you said it.
So, why did you do that? So, he's the type of guy that you want to do well. But I am going to stand by what I said. I don't think he can hang with the top boys in the lightweight division. I just think they're too good for him. Obviously, Habib is still there, whether you say he's not or he is. He is. The guys in the main event at the weekend, Connor and Dustin. The guy that he's fighting, Dan Hooker. You've obviously got Charles Oliveira and a couple of others like Justin Gaethje, Islam Makhachev, Nate Diaz, all these types of characters. I don't think Michael Chandler can rock and roll with him. I think he'll give us an entertaining fight with Dan Hooker because Dan Hooker's an entertaining fighter as well. But I don't think he's winning the fight, mate.
Doesn't beat anybody in the top 10, you said.
Go look at the top 10.
Have you looking got... at it right now.
Right, reel them off.
Yeah.
Reel them off now. Tell me who he beats.
Number 10, Alia Quinta.
No. What you've done there is you've given... Alia Quinta's the 11th name on that list.
That's because Khabib's the champ.
He is the 11th name on the list.
Khabib's the champ.
Is he the 11th name on the list?
Yeah, but Khabib is
right,
the champ.
Right, stop. Go to the next one up above Alia Quinta. Go above that. Does he beat any of them?
Diego Ferreira.
Does he beat him?
I like Ferreira.
Yes. Does he beat him?
Probably not.
Right then. Next one up.
Felder.
Okay.
He beats Felder, yeah.
That's a fight.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that. That's
Rafael Dos Anjos.
Doesn't beat him. Doesn't beat him.
Could do.
Does not beat him. After what he's just done to Felder, he doesn't beat him.
Dan Hooker.
Doesn't beat him.
Tony Ferguson.
Nope.
Fucking hell, come on. This version of Tony Ferguson that's just been shellacked twice.
He won't beat him.
I think he does. Connor, Charles, Dustin, Gaethje.
No.
No, I think those top four... Well, listen, I've got to reserve judgment on Conor until I see him fight on Saturday night. Because I've got to see him start Dustin Poirier before I'm back on the choo-choo.
What?
And that's not mean I'm going partying with Conor in Liverpool again. I mean, on the train of, woo-woo, Conor's going to go and champ again. That wasn't some kind of, you know...
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to see Conor do his bit thing on Saturday night. We'll come back to Conor in a second. But in terms of Michael Chandler... He's going to surprise you twice. He surprised you last time on Fight Island, and I went, we were talking about doing interviews, and I went, I'll do Chandler. Yeah. And you looked at me going, what? And I went, I'll do Chandler. I've done Chandler before. It's cool. And then I jumped into the interview, and afterwards you went to me, now I know why you did Chandler. Yeah. The guy's a fucking human soundbite.
Yeah, he's got it. He's got
wicked.
It.
He's got the star power.
He's got it.
And I was like, yeah, he surprised you. You wait until you see him fight. I think he's going to surprise you, man. He is, as Dan explained on Open Mat, he is a throwback fighter. He is a fucking double leg, yeah, pick it up in the air, smash it on your back, ground and pound you, climb back to your feet, he double legs you again, he puts it on your back. But the thing with Michael Chandler is he can do that for 25 minutes if he needs to. I think this fight could favour...
It's only a 15-minute fight, this.
Dan Hooker, because it is only a 15-minute fight.
Think?
I think Dan Hooker's coming off the back of a huge fight with Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
A war that...
He was in.
Listen.
He was in.
I agree. But also a war that afterwards I went... Will Dan Hooker ever be the same?
Yeah.
Because the motherfucker left a part of his soul in that fight. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're in fights like that, and then you rock straight into a fight with someone like Michael Chandler, who's got a lot of experience, an awful lot of experience. Okay, maybe not Champions League level, but the level he was at, you know, it's not like he was mid-show on Bellator. The guy was the poster boy for Bellator. He was Bellator's best fighter for many, many years. Over a period of years, three-time champion.
Didn't come over as champ, though.
No, he didn't. He got knocked out. And that's another thing. Has he left it too late? Are the whiskers now letting him down? Yeah. Which is what happens to these older fighters.
And that's where I'm at.
But is Dan Hooker going to be able to land clean? Has Dan Hooker ever faced a throwback type of wrestler, grinder, like Michael Chandler? It's a great fight for both of them. You know, if Dan Hooker gets the win, he progresses to the semifinals, the guy's legit. If Chandler wins, welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah. You're right. I can't see it. But I'll tell you what I will say. I'll actually be happy to take the L. I'll be because like what you just said, we are thirsty. Doing what we do for a living, we are thirsty for that star power.
Yeah.
We're thirsty for the soundbite guy. The guy that gives you the time, goes out the way to give you the time to want to. I know what you're after, mate. Don't you worry, son. I've got some special sauce on this interview for you. Boom. Michael Chandler delivers every single time when a microphone's in his face. Every single time. If he can deliver in the octagon, we've got a player. Mm-hmm. We've got a proper player. Because think how big that they could make come of him.
Yeah.
They could make a massive, massive, massive fight out of that just because of the soundbites alone.
Yeah.
So I'm on board with wanting him to win. I just don't think he will.
Yeah. And listen, I'm not saying he will win because we just don't know. Similar to Conor, we just don't know where he's at in his career. Will his style be effective at the top level? You know, has Dan Hooker seen this thing before? Is that style defunct now for a reason? Because in the big show, that style, that old fucking, you know, style has been faded out because the fighters in the UFC are so much more well-rounded. It's not good enough just being an elite wrestling specialist these days. You've got to be so much more. Maybe Dan Hooker just fucking, boom. Them takedown attempts just bounce off him and Dan Hooker lights him up. Could happen. But I've just got a sneaking feeling that, you know, a lot of this game is mental. A lot of this game is what goes on between the ears. Once you get to a certain level in fight sport, it's who can handle a big show better. And yes, Hooker's been in big fights. Of course he has. But I would argue Michael Chandler carried a promotion. He's been in big fights himself. He knows what it's all about. And he knows.
So you're saying he's been the Conor McGregor of Bellator?
Exactly. You know, and listen, don't get me wrong, a poor man's Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And I wish someone called me a poor man's Conor McGregor with the money he's got in the bank.
Yeah.
That is not a knock on him. But he's existed in a sphere, a different bubble, but a bubble where he was king. He knows what it's all about. He knows what I would turn it on big fights. He's very experienced. Yeah. Even though weirdly, he's had less fights than Hooker as well.
Yeah.
I think it's a fucking super intriguing fight, man. But the best thing about it is we're going to be covering this show, building up to that fight. That fight's going to happen and you're going to go, wow, that happened? My God, let's react. That's amazing. And then suddenly Conor McGregor's ring, more movies are going to kick and you're going to go, oh my Lord.
Yeah.
Now we've got the king. The king is back.
The king is back. We'll do main event then. We've gone a bit backwards actually. Yeah. We've gone the other way, haven't we? Where do you think Dustin Poirier's head's at? Because at 178, like I said, I've said this on the BT stuff this week. At UFC 178, when these guys originally met in 2014, he was physically ready, but he wasn't mentally ready for Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And it wasn't full-blown, all singing, all dancing Conor McGregor. It was the start of the Conor McGregor run. Dustin Poirier, it kind of kicked off then. He went into Siva, didn't he? Then he went into Mendez. Then he went into Aldo. And then it just went crazy then, the Diaz stuff, and obviously onto Alvarez. So it was right at the start of all of that. But even so, Conor McGregor's first time in Las Vegas, he got inside Poirier's head and beat him before the octagon door shut, mate. It lasted, what, 1 minute 40-something seconds? Where do you think he's at now, mentally?
I think he's in a much better place mentally. I think he's a lot more mature. He's got a young family now. I think he's got his own charity. You know, he knows where he's going with his life. He's at peace with the world in terms of what he's trying to give back. And you know, fighters go on journeys through their careers where it's all about the belt, it's all about this, it's all about that, it's all about, you know, trying to make it work, trying to find a way that makes it work, trying to find the best possible you. I think Dustin Poirier has answered all those questions that he needs to answer. He's not necessarily going to get any better at this stage. He knows how to prep, he knows how to weight cut, he knows how to prepare. He's been in big fights. You know, it's all about now. For me, Dustin Poirier turns up Saturday night. Dustin Poirier turns up. He's been here as well. He was here last year. He lost the title fight to Khabib. He won a lot of the crowd over the way him and Khabib dealt with each other, and certainly post-fight, the way they swapped T-shirts and threw arms around each other and stuff. So don't be surprised if the small crowd that we get in there is very much a pro-Poirier crowd.
You think...
Because this is Khabib country, man.
You think Conor might get booed, don't you?
I do, because this is Khabib country. These guys are obsessed with jiu-jitsu. The Dagestani-Russian Middle East connection is absolutely strong as fuck. Think of Brits on the Costa Brava. That's how Dagestanis are seen in UAE. They're loved out here, man. They're proper beloved. And, you know, jiu-jitsu is a national sport over here in the Middle East. So That's not to say, what I mean is Poirier's relationship with Khabib, which was very public and amplified over here, will see a lot of that fan base, I think, go with Poirier, especially because of obviously Conor's history with Khabib and the shit that he spoke about Khabib in the past. So don't be surprised if Conor does get booed. Will it matter in Conor's eyes? Will it? Fuck. You know, it'll probably give Conor a lift. But most importantly, it might give Poirier a lift.
Yeah.
Poirier's going to walk to the ring second.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a lot different about this week than what was involved in their fight back in September 2014, where Dustin Poirier rocked up in Las Vegas thinking, hey man, I'm an American fighting in Nevada, and suddenly found out that he was in deepest, darkest Dublin, and everyone there was supporting Conor, and he was a fucking bit part player in the Conor show. This is different this time. He has to mentally believe that, hey, my name's first on the poster.
Yeah.
I'm walking second.
Higher ranked.
I'm the busier fighter.
Yeah.
I'm the more evolved fighter. You've been away from this sport, earning crazy money in boxing, doing whatever you want to be doing, and I've been grinding. And he should take solace in the fact that he is 100% better fighter than he was in 2014. Is Conor McGregor a better fighter than he was after he beat Eddie Alvarez? I don't know. I've never seen him. We haven't seen him get his arm raised since he beat Alvarez 4 years ago.
Yeah.
2016. He went away from the sport for 2 years, came back against Khabib, lost that fight against Khabib, then disappeared for another 18 months or whatever it was, and then reappeared with the 40-second blowout up at welterweight against Cowboy in Vegas before the world fucking got flipped inside out and upside down. I don't know where Conor's at. I don't know where Conor is at in terms of him being a lightweight. It looks good. It looks super positive. The noises we're hearing are super exciting. And if Conor hasn't missed the beat, and has been evolving, and continuing to get better, holy shit, we're back. We're back, baby. The Red Panty Party is back. But my problem is, I haven't seen it, so all I can go off of what I have seen, and that's Dustin Poirier become a better fighter than he was.
Well, you see, I'm going the other way. Because I agree with you. We haven't seen it. We haven't been around them. And I say this all the time, don't I? When you've not been around people, and you make a prediction, it's very easy for that prediction to change once you feel the energy of that other human being. You look in their eyes, you can see if they're bullshitting, you can see if they're really there or not. And I only really get those vibes from the interviews that we do. And we're fortunate to get up close and personal with these guys, courtesy of BT Sport. So over the next couple of days, I will sit down and look across Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier and get a little bit more of a vibe. Right now, given the fact that I had a conversation with John Kavanagh at the weekend, I think I'll make my prediction now, right? And then we'll do some more shows later on this week and see if it changes. I think we are going to get Conor McGregor, Eddie Alvarez. That's the fight we're going to get. I think he will be absolutely punch perfect. He will have watched Max at the weekend. He will have seen, I mean, you've seen him on social media have a go at when Max went, I'm the best boxer in the
UFC.
In the UFC. Mid fight, and he's looking at the stand.
Slipping shots.
Yeah, he's looking at DC and he's slipping shots and all that type of stuff. Absolutely outstanding stuff from Max Holloway. Everybody's on the Max Holloway train. As you said, they're hyped. They've seen it. What a performance. Conor knows. He's looked at that and he's gone, I'll show you what fucking boxing's about, lads. And I think we will get the. We will get the Eddie Alvarez fight.
Listen, sign me up, brother. I'm on board. If Conor's busy and active, mate, we're having a good month, aren't we? We're doing well. So I'm on board. I'm hoping for that myself, and that's certainly not a knock on Dustin, who's an absolute diamond of a guy. He's called the diamond because he is a diamond.
I actually won a war. I think you want
a fight of the year contender, but I'm like you. If I was a better man, I would go with Conor McGregor early. But if I had £15 in my pocket, I'd put £10 on Conor inside two and £5 on Dustin on points. Because
it's not a bad shout.
I think Dustin Poirier's got to survive. I said this on the open match show. He's got to survive 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You survive 10 minutes, then you've got 15 minutes of Conor being far less powerful, far less dangerous, and time to work.
And mobile. Far less time mobile. To work. You see him. He slows down.
Of course he does. Because he's a puncher.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to punchers. If you take punchers into deep water and you tire them out, then obviously opportunities are going to arise. And Conor's incredible record, that incredible run that he had to two titles, if you go back and analyse that, his big successes are in the early rounds when he lands shots and gets people out of there.
Yeah. Can't wait, man.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Listen, we're going to bring you more bits throughout the course of the week on that and the co-main event. People on the undercard that you most certainly should be paying attention to, right? We've got a bit of needle between Jessica Ryan and Jojo Caldwell. That'll be fun, man. This week's going to be really good because Jessica Ryan has missed weight in her last two fights. Yep. And this is where the needles come from because Jojo's jumped all over it on social media and started poking fun at her and what
called
have
her
you.
Fat bitch.
Yeah. Fat bitch. She didn't call her a fat bitch, but I like the idea of calling her a fat bitch. It's funny. Anyway, they've gone back and forth and they've had a bit of nastiness. The fight's been made. Now there's a bit of needle. And obviously, after all the needle started, Jojo ended up getting beat in a fight that maybe she shouldn't have took because she was next in line for Shevchenko.
Yeah.
So it's a massive fight, this. It's a huge, huge fight. Joanne is one of the most nicest, sweetest, coolest people. I mean, we spoke about it so many times on this show, just being so placid. I want to see her go full Begbie this week, yeah. Man. Yeah. Absolutely, just fucking have it.
Yeah.
Full Scottish, angry. Give it to her.
It's not what she needs, though. She needs to break this persona of being this lovely, softly spoken girl, because when she turns it on, she can fight like fuck. She's a horrifically damaging Muay Thai fighter when she wants to be.
Yeah.
The problem is, you know, her last performance against Jennifer Meyer, we all seen it, man. It looked like she got her arm locked in there and just left it there for Meyer to rip off. So I want to see a Jojo Calderwood that's actually here to win the title. I want to see a Jojo Calderwood that's here to prove a point, to do a bit of a number on Jessica Rye and get back into that contention spot, because not only did she miss out on a title fight by taking Maya at short notice and losing, but she also plummeted down her rankings. She went from fucking hero to literally zero.
Yeah.
So she's got a point to prove. Otherwise, you lose to Jessica I here. You know, what's next? You know, you joke about it, but the only thing that's next for me that makes sense would be a fight with Molly McCann.
Yeah.
You know, then she becomes a mark.
Yeah,
she's a gatekeeper to the top 10, and someone like Molly McCann or similar, and I'm literally just pulled Molly's name out of nowhere, there's no beef there, I think they're actually friends, so I'm probably staring shit here, but if Molly McCann, if she needs someone to get here towards the rankings, and Jojo Calderwood, if she loses Jessica Rye, she drops right out to the top 10, she becomes a mark for all these young girls trying to come through. So if she's got any aspirations to win the title, and I'm sure Jojo has, she's got to do the business.
Keep an eye out for Azatar.
Frivola.
And Jesus Frivola.
Fucking Christ.
Hell of a fight. That's on the main card.
Steamroller against the
Bulldozer, isn't it?
Yeah. The Bulldozer.
Fucking hell. Frivola's won his last two. He didn't fight last year. He had a fight booked on Fight Island. It fell off because someone in his opponent's camp got COVID. So he'll be chomping at the bit, ready to rock and roll, yeah? Azatar. Fuck me, man. I mean, we were
13-0.
Yeah.
10 KOs.
Yeah.
Last three fights.
Two of those in the UFC, yeah.
Yeah. Last three, yeah. including this last one in Brave and two in the UFC. All three, first round, knockouts, one punches.
We met him at UFC 242, because that was, I think, was his UFC debut, wasn't it? In Abu Dhabi, of course. Moroccan kid. His brother's also a fighter too.
Yeah.
They all go around together. He's a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
He's an absolute lunatic, he's at the time. Frivola isn't far off being a lunatic himself. So that could be, there could be a few £50 bonuses being thrown their way in that fight.
It won't go distance. Someone's getting carried out.
And the fight just before it, which kicks off the main card, Rodriguez and Hibas. Everybody knows about Amanda Hibas. She had a wonderful year in 2020, some sensational wins on there. You might not know too much about Rodriguez, but these two girls, they are the future of this division.
Yeah.
And one of them is going to take a massive, massive step towards a title shot. Maybe not next, but this is the type of fight that puts you in the shot window and gets you in the conversations of fighting the champion, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. And listen, this is just the beginning for both these girls. It wouldn't surprise me if in 2 or 3 years' time you've seen these two, if not fighting for, certainly contesting number one spots for the title. So that's what this is. It's an early fight for them both, and they're both got aspirations on one day winning the title. I think they've both got 1-0 on the record so far. Rodriguez, it was last time out. She lost in the UFC. For Hibas, it was outside of the UFC a couple of years ago. They're just the future of this division, man. It's an amazing opportunity for two female strawweights that most people don't really know yet to get themselves a massive win on a huge card.
Who'd you pick on the prelims?
Well, they did Tavares versus Carlos Junior on the open match show.
Yeah.
But so I won't do that again. But I will say that
you're a big fan of Khalil, aren't you?
Yeah, Khalil Roundtree. Yeah, just because I did his whole backstory when I was still working for Fighters Only, and he's had a fucking crazy life, man. Yeah, man. You know, he was also talking in the last year
about retirement.
Yeah, he was a rapper.
Was he?
He was like Heavy D. He was 300 pounds.
Me.
So what happened was, he's always in the music industry because his family was in the music industry. Bizarrely, his dad was a bodyguard or some shit for Boyz II Men. And one time on tour, he got gunned down. He got shot.
Fuck.
Yeah, man. So Khalil kind of followed his dad's footsteps and was in music. And he was like Heavy D. I don't think he was a manager. I think he was actually in a band or whatever. Anyway, Khalil Roundtree was in a band. And the story goes, I remember sitting with him and he told me about it. He said, I'm sitting there, I'm drinking beer, we've finished the gig, we've got a TV on the fucking bus or whatever, and we're travelling to our next city of destination. And he said, I'm sitting there, I've got a drink in one hand and a cigarette in another, I'm 300 pounds, I'm watching Tough on the bus, watching the UFC. And he said, and I turned round to the rest of the people on the bus and said, I could do that. And he said, literally everyone on the bus fell about laughing. The driver nearly fucking crashed and everything. Everyone thought it was the biggest load of bollocks ever. And he said, 6 months later, I moved to Vegas. I joined Wanderlei Silva's fight gym in Vegas. And he went, my first goal was to get the weight off. He said, and then within 12 months, I made my pro debut.
Fuck.
Changed his life completely. Just went, right, you think it's a joke? You think I'm a joke? Watch this. Within a couple of years, he was in the UFC, and you know, I like Khalil. He's a wicked guy, and the guy can fight like hell, man. He's a hell of a knockout puncher. He's got a weird record. He's got an 8-4 record, which you know doesn't really
justify his talent.
Yeah. He's got wins over Paul Craig, who now is climbing high. Win over Gokhan Saki, which is great, but he has got you know the kind of losses over Johnny Walker, Kuta Libre, Tyson Pedro. These are top guys.
Yeah.
So he only loses against the top guys, and you know the UFC have done him a bit of a favour here. They've put him in with this Martian Prashnio, who's lost his last three. So I'm expecting a knockout performance from Khalil.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get to catch up with him Saturday night because he has got a wicked backstory. And if you do get the chance, fucking get 5 minutes with him because he's a diamond.
Mm. Lots going on this week. You've got live press conferences, live weigh-in shows, obviously two fight cards. Wednesdays, we've just been pointing out the times. Sadly for UK fight fans, it's a early morning. It's an all-nighter. It's an early morning job.
Bobby.
Eh?
Eh? What's the only thing that helps you go the distance for the big fights on an all-nighter? Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Fucking Viagra. That's what you need. A couple of blue pills, that'll keep you going, kids.
And if you don't want to double drop a blue pill, hit up Fight Disciples Store, get yourself some proper tackle, organically brewed lager.
Mm.
Listen, I'm not saying this was fed to me by a critic from the New York Times. Probably the best IPA being brewed in Britain today. That's not me saying that. That's a critic from the New York Times.
Nobody's reviewed our beer in the New York Times. Nobody. I would just like to put that disclosure in there now. He's making it up. The New York Times. The Guardian. We should do that. We should have like 5 stars. Hoppy taste. Yeah, oh, what's man. His mush? Hugh Fearnley Whittenstall.
Yeah, man.
Review the ale.
Right. Yeah, man. Gareth Thinner. Yeah. Gareth's twin. Gareth's twin brother.
Get on it. Get some proper tackle for the fight. It's going to be interesting, you know, how these lads address this weekend. Do they do two sleeps after the weigh-in? Did they do one sleep? Did they go all the way through it? What? What are you thinking, that I'm going to give them some proper tackle to get them?
I thought you said it's going to be interesting to see how these lads dress at the weekend. I'm thinking, I'm really not asked what suit Conor wears, to be honest with you.
Address it. How they address
yeah,
the
I know. You've
8 a.m., 9 a.m. thing.
Listen, yeah, and I get it. If you're Khalil Roundtree, it's a fucking issue. If you're Conor versus Dustin Poirier, it's 9 a.m. local time or whatever it is. It's just like going for a round of golf. They'll be spot on. I've got no issue. No excuses from anyone off the main card. If you're fighting between 7 and 9 a.m. in the morning, no issues. I think if you're someone who's on the early prelims, fighting at 3, 8, 4 a.m. in the morning, my heart bleeds for you, man. What are we going to do? That's the most important thing. Blackout blinds and have a little sleep.
I'm doing two sleeps after the weigh-ins. Yeah, I'm doing two sleeps.
Mad.
So we'll do weigh-ins.
Yeah.
Yeah, do the show. Have a good drink. And maybe make a podcast that night, yeah? Something like that.
Two drunk podcasts potentially coming.
Yeah, maybe.
Woohoo!
So we'll do Friday night sleep, get up, have me Saturday. Saturday night sleep, get up at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
3 a.m. maybe.
Maybe when we're drunk later in the week, we'll let the people know about our potential new sponsor.
I've actually just dropped a hint, haven't I? 2 seconds ago when I was talking about you know what?
The blue pills.
I was being ambiguous and you just went in.
Fuck. Save it.
No point in saving it now. You've told them.
Come on, pool time.
Pool time? I've got to go and do work, mate. I've got to go make a TV show. I've got to go and do all the links for that.
Excuse me. I was grafting yesterday while you were sitting drinking coffee.
You did one interview with Lerone, which took 10 minutes. Grafting. He sat in a bar, right? This is what he did. He sat in a bar.
Eating donuts.
Asking Lerone questions about fights on Wednesday. It should have been 20 minutes. He made it 10 minutes because he wanted to fuck off back to the pool. And then, obviously, go on to watch Liverpool and Man United. That's what you wanted to do, didn't you?
Right. Sometimes you just got to...
Yeah. Your quality, not quantity.
Streamline it. Yeah, streamline it.
Yeah. He's all about the quality. So I am now going off to the arena. First look at the arena to go and film some stuff for the television programme for the folks back home. The big build-up show. You're going downstairs for a swim. Yeah. Right? That's how this relationship rolls. You only bring the talent in for the good shit. When you want the sugar, when you want the magic, when you want flying from A to B, get the fucking Muggins to go and sort that out.
When you're the guy predicting fucking how fights are going to end and tournaments.
When I get stuff right.
And tournaments.
Yeah, when I get stuff
then
right.
Then I'll go and do the links and you can go for a swim.
Okay. When I finally get stuff right, here we go. Perfect. So there you go. So if Conor McGregor puts on an Eddie Alvarez performance at the weekend and Dan Hooker absolutely lights up Chandler.
Is the beer.
Is that my room service?
I think it is.
Then we'll change roles, of course, on the show. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to us. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Get stuck into it. There'll be more stuff coming your way this week. Loads of stuff on the BT Sport channel as well, because we're constantly over all the content there. Some of it's just Nick swimming in a swimming pool, but you get the gist of that. You can get everything else that you need on our website, fightdisciples.com. Thank you very much for listening to us. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.